eerie, I suppose is the word, to find absolutely everything, nothing going on, grass growing over all the railway tracks, nobody yet in the docks, no ships, no cranes working, no noise, no nothing, absolute devastation.
The actual is a factual decline of the docks came about. It was nothing to do with labour in the docks whatsoever. The first change that hit us was in 1956, I think. It was the Clean Air Act.
Anyone under the age of 40 will probably not remember the famous London Pea Super, the thick yellow fog, which occurred usually from about November onwards. Besides its usual vapour content, vapour base, its main constituents came from factory and household chimneys, all burning Derby brights or nuts, the two forms of coal then available. This noxious effluvium could be smelled, tasted and even felt between the teeth as a fine sort of grit. A game among schoolboys, and this is rather horrible but it is true, a game among schoolboys was that of seeing who could produce the biggest and the best and biggest gob. An ordinary grey one earned few marks. The yellow one was a good one, but a green one was a winner. That is, except in the case of a less frequent green one with red spots. Such a one swept the board. Getting your things off your chest and copping up two bob bits were allusion to these jolly games.
The Clean Air Act. That slaughtered, that hit the Lightridge company, hit the Lightridge industry drastic. That was a tremendous blow. Very few people relate to. Because what you had at that time, you had Samuel Williams handling coal, you had River Lightridge handling coal, you had Corey handling coal, you had South Met handling coal, you had Harrison's, five large companies based on coal. Once that act came in, the coal industry collapsed in London. All they was doing was supplying power station gasworks. So those companies went to the wall by the 60s, most of them, that handled coal. And that was the first blow that hit the Lightridge industry. And then, because what started to happen from that was the breakup, there was a congestion of shipping in London. The ports in Europe hadn't started after the war. And we still had an empire. And so the Port of London never knew what it was to market the port. Everybody come to London because it was the empire, they all come to London, the congestion was there. No one did anything. They did very little to make it work. So ships was hanging about in a Surrey for 6 months waiting to get gecs. I mean, that was the stupidity of it. The empire started to change, it went to a commonwealth. That was the first start. And then, you know, they got their own shipping companies. Said, well, we ain't got to go to London, you know. I mean, not this old empire fly the flag business. We can go anywhere. And then you had Europe coming on song after the war that started, because it was flattened, started to rebuild up their system.
A ordinary ocean-going ship coming from, say, Australia or New Zealand, full of dairy produce, when it burst up in the Port of London, for discharging purposes, it would require approximately 300 to 400 men, ship and quay. Now, when you went on to containerization, you dropped down to about 20 men a shift and no more. So you see immediately the repercussion it had. And that's why the exodus from the docks was vast, because they had far too many men. And if you can visualize an aperture or a hole, and you take out a 40-foot, that is in length, container, and lift it up, and then look back, it's an enormous hole you've made in there. In fact, what you've done is lifted up 38 tons of goods as one complete unit load onto a lorry and trailer.